Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network, a station dedicated to the concept that all manifestations of the divine are equally valid. Join Reverend Terry Power HP, Robin McKean, and all the hosts for programming covering a wide range of spiritual topics, right here on Blog Talk Radio. Terry and Robin's Power Hour, a show where we create our own reality. Thanks for joining us. So pull up a chair and enjoy the adventure. And now, here's Terry and Robin.
Are listening to the Power Hours with Reverend Terry Power and Robin McKean. How you doing, Robin? My darling, my partner.
Really well.
All right.
At this moment, trying to peel wet clothes off my child. There we go.
Okay. All right. Always a good thing. So, we normally talk about, how the weather's been and stuff
mm-hmm.
like that. But we've been, I've been working from home this week, so it's been kind of nice.
Mm-hmm. And yes, it has been very nice to have you home.
And I'm looking forward to more of that. So tonight we scheduled kind of I won't say a down night, but we certainly scheduled a no topic, sit down, have a conversation, listen to. We're going to talk about some of the things that have been going on this year, some stuff
mm-hmm.
with the station, stuff with us, our plans for the future, for our ministry, for the station, for us as a family,
mm-hmm.
and maybe talk to a few callers. So if you want to join in the conversation or ask us a question, go ahead and give us a call at 646-564-9714 and, join in on the conversation. We're just going to hang out for a little while, play a song or two, and enjoy the evening. So with that in mind, it has been a full 2016. It's really been a full year. A lot going on. July of last year, we were hand fasted.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been at pretty close to a dead run since, it feels like. Just always something. In a good way, most of it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's been very busy and very eventful. Again, mm-hmm. most of it good. Some wonderful things happening in our life. In our life together, and mm-hmm. In our ministry with the station. So, if we want to pick it up at last year, a little over a year ago, I guess July. So we're maybe a couple of months past a year.
Mm-hmm.
We had the hand fasting, and then we were Labor Day Libertine last year.
Mm-hmm.
And then into the holidays and, building the station somewhere in there. We added another show on Monday night. I'm looking back through my records, and it looks like the Monday night show started right around January 25th, it looks like. But it was definitely sometime in January that we added Voice of Olympus.
Uh-huh.
And Hercules and Athena joined the family here at the Spiritual Unity Radio Network.
Uh-huh.
And you know, I was just flipping through the calendar and looking at some of the people we've talked to this year, some of the things we've done. You know, we went on about a year-long journey through the major arcana on our Tuesday night shows.
Yep.
And we've talked to, gosh, some amazing people. I mean, we've talked to Brian Hinkey, Wendy Rule, Dorothy Morrison.
Dave DeBard?
Yeah, Dave the Bard. That was back at Christmas Eve episode.
The Grimassi.
And last year was Dave
Oberon
the Bard.
Zell.
Say again?
Oberon Zell and the Grimassis.
Yeah, Oberon. Yeah, the Grimassis just a couple of weeks ago. Dragon Ritual drummers. Utu brought us a new song to premiere that night.
Mm-hmm.
So I got to be the first people to play publicly the Riders de la Muerte. So, you know, that was
we've
pretty
talked
cool.
We've talked to P.A. Night Owl, Jackie Sutton.
Oh, well, yeah,
we
talked to her
Lady
on a regular
Elspeth.
Basis.
Yeah.
She's a regular, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That Lady
Elspeth. We spoke
Elspeth.
To Lady Elspeth. Mm-hmm.
And... You know, all of the artists that performed at
Caldera
Fest.
Right.
You know, we had like every Thursday night we were interviewing some artist from Caldera Fest. I mean, everybody from Murphy's Midnight Rounders. We talked to Becca Kelso. We talked to Celia Farron, Witch's Mark. You know, that list goes on and on.
Yeah,
Kellyanna, Spiral Rhythm. I mean, it's been a pretty exciting year. And through all of that, that was all of our Thursday night shows. On Tuesday night, we've been doing the Major Arcana.
Uh-huh.
We've been doing our Components of Ritual. Now,
uh-huh.
we started that, good grief, back in February.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, if anybody has questions that they didn't get to ask us about the tarot cards or about the ritual component shows that we've been doing, tonight would be a great time to call in and ask your questions.
Yeah, absolutely. Jump on in. We're open to any questions tonight. So no topic, just call in, hang out, join the fun. But yeah, we started the Components of Ritual with circle casting back in February.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, there's just been so many cool things. We've done, about 16 rituals.
Mm-hmm.
Every Sabbat and every full moon, except for when the full moon corresponds with the Sabbat. Of course, we're going to do the Sabbat. And we did about 3 dark moons in there as well. So,
right.
You know, quite a few rituals have been going on Tuesday nights. The group of ritualists, our,
mm-hmm.
you know, Tuesday night coven, as it were, has been such a mainstay of what we do here. You know, we had one week that we had a couple of people couldn't be with us, and it was very different. It was, you know, it felt a little off to me,
mm-hmm.
you know, not having them with us. So,
yeah.
You know,
no,
you get used to, you know, you get used to working with a group of people and that energy, and you know, even though we're separated by geography, we all know that time and space are an illusion.
Right.
And when we can reach across that and still build and feel and connect with that energy, that's pretty powerful, considering that we've got people, you know, scattered across this continent, all working together. You know, it's pretty impressive when you think about it that way.
Yep, I agree.
So what are some of the highlights that you want to talk about, some of the things that you think about when you think about this last year?
Well, I think one of the nice things for me was to get Hercules and Athena on the air, not only because they're cool people and interesting people and fun people to talk to and hang out with, but because I think that they needed it was nice to be able to give them some more exposure and have people know them the way, you know, I got to meet them. The other kind of interesting, cool thing about being able to have them on the show was that I met them at the same time I met you. So
yeah,
it's kind of a full circle thing. It's kind of interesting. The other things, I mean, we've traveled together. We've gone to some events. We went to Caldera Fest together as a family. You and I went to Dubai for 2 weeks. That was fun. It wasn't really having to do with the show, but, it, you know, it impacts your life experience. So that was a lot of fun. We've done a lot of workshops together, getting to work and teach with someone else was unique for me. To be able to teach with somebody else live was very unique. And so that was an adjustment for me.
For me as well, to be honest with you. You know, I've been, like you, I've been doing this for a lot of years on my own. And learning to and having the ability to share it with someone who is so closely aligned spiritually with the way I think and feel. You know, while we certainly have differences, which is, you know, the part that makes it fun and interesting, our main core is pretty consistent. And has been. I think that first time we got on the phone all those years ago.
Oh yeah.
And you know, and it feels like yesterday, but it has been, you know, what, 3.5 years.
Mm-hmm.
And to have that that connection with someone who became a friend and a colleague, and then ultimately when things in the universe conspired in our direction, you know, left us both in a situation where we could pursue, you know, we were both free. We were both unattached. You know, the relationship I had been in ended, and you know, I mean, she moved on to, you know, whatever she's moved on to. I hope she finds what she's looking for. And, you know, in the midst of all of that, we had our chance, and here we are.
Yeah, worked out pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, everything kind of, well, I mean, it's like that song we were listening to in the car a little while ago. You know, thank the gods for all I missed, because it led me here to this. And, you know, how many things had to happen for us to be in the right place at the right time to be together? You know, it's pretty amazing the things that have happened to prepare us for each other. You know, that doesn't mean that we don't have baggage, that we, you know, struggle through each other's baggage sometimes. But, you know, the cool thing isn't about finding someone without baggage. It's finding someone that's willing to help you carry yours.
Yeah.
you know, and to, you know, deal with each other's stuff. You know, you don't get to, you know, you don't get to our level of maturity without having some stuff.
Yeah, that's for sure.
And, you know, so, you know, but again, that 4-hour phone call we had the first time we talked,
mm-hmm.
and to be together, working together, you know, traveling and sharing a kitchen. Because if you can share mm-hmm. a kitchen with somebody, you can share a life with them. Because, you know, that's, you know, that's the height of sharing when you share a kitchen.
And, that's very true.
And
the fact that I let you in my kitchen, you should feel happy.
See what I mean,
I love to cook. So. Uh-huh, yeah, I love to cook. So.
And, you know, we've done...
And there's been an adventure we've been on together. It's learning to make new things. This year we've made cheese and bread and butter, and we've, you know, gone to a lifestyle that incorporates more raw foods and how to deal with that, and, you know, less meat, more plant-based. You know, that's just been an adjustment. And you quit smoking. I mean, that's huge.
Well, there's that.
It's a big life adjustment.
It has been an adjustment. I find I've got a lot more time on my hands.
Mm-hmm. And a lot more money in your pocket, maybe?
Well, you know, the universe has conspired the universe has conspired to find ways to consume that.
Well, there is that too. Yeah. But in good ways, mostly.
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 You know, we've met some amazing people in our journey together. One of them, gosh, I'm just looking at what's coming up. I mean, we're going to be talking to Anne Marie in a little over a week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. One of my favorite humans.
And talking about Florida Pagan Gathering.
Mm-hmm.
You know, another event we've done together, not in the last year, but something that we have done together since we have been a unit. You know,
mm-hmm.
and a couple. And that might have actually been the first time we actually sat down together and talked together in person.
I'm not sure.
We've done workshops since then. But I think that
I think
was
we
the first
Pagan Pride
time.
First. Didn't we do
Maybe
Pagan
we
Pride
did.
First?
I don't know if we did. It could be. I mean, I'm not going to say that I've got, you know, perfect memory of that. But if it
mm-hmm.
wasn't the first, it was very early.
Yeah.
And we were pretty well received. We were invited back. So, I mean, I guess that was pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if she heard a lot of complaining about us, then she wouldn't be asking us back.
This is very true.
So, you know, we learned a lot. You know, as a couple, though, I mean, it's been interesting how well our thoughts about raising children align.
Mm-hmm.
And dealing with the little one.
Yeah.
The other night answering in stereo. I mean,
well, that happens an awful lot.
It does. I mean, it happened the first week I came to visit here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we answered in stereo. So, you know, having someone, as I have said so many times, that's so closely aligned with life is such a blessing and a joy.
Does make it a whole heck of a lot easier.
Yeah. You know, raising kids is stressful enough without fighting about it, and we, you know, we're so, you know. So
yeah, you know, it happens to be one of the things that married couples list right up there with money that they fight about, you know, money and disciplining and raising their kids. And a lot of people don't see eye to eye with that. You know, one is a spanker and one is just let them have it, kind of, you know. Or, you know, one's a yeller and one's not a yeller. But you and I both seem to adhere to the firm discussion and consequences for your actions kind of parenting, peppered with the occasional spanking when required to keep them on the straight and narrow. We expect things from our kids, you know, give them goals and expect them to attain them. And I honestly think that, you know, not to brag, but I think overall my kid's a pretty decent kid. I mean, granted, she's only 10. Talk to me in 5 years, you know. We all know about 15-year-old girls. But I think overall she's a pretty decent kid. When I look at all of the other kids her age and what some of them are doing, I thank my lucky stars that she's not doing some of those things.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's certainly true, and I think a lot of it is the way you raised her before I came along.
Mm-hmm.
You had done a remarkable job with her before I got, you know, before I got in the picture. And all I have done is reinforce. But she knows she can't, you know, play us against each other because she's going to get pretty much mm-hmm. the same answer out of either of us.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So, you know, a lot of kids will play one parent against the other, and no, not so much here.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't matter who you ask first, it's probably going to be pretty close to the same answer.
Yep.
So, let's see, returning to some of the conversations about people we've met. You know, we were talking about Anne Marie at that same event. We met Utu
mm-hmm.
Witch Doctor and the Dragon Ritual Drummers. And met them in person for the first time at Florida Pagan Gathering. And then after the hand fasting when we were at Labor Day Libertine, or was it Horn and Honey that year? When did we meet Brad and Teresa from Murphy's Midnight Grounders?
Horn and Honey.
Horn and Honey. Okay, it was before the hand fasting.
Yes.
And then seeing them again at Caldera Fest was very cool. And we actually got to introduce them from the stage. And
yeah.
They're kind of regular visitors here on the network. We talk to them about once every, you know, 3 or 4 months we'll have them on. And, you know, being able to introduce them
mm-hmm.
on the main
awesome.
Stage at Caldera Fest, that was seriously cool. And Perry, you know, little one got to come up with us and, you know, that was a family moment, and it was just very,
mm-hmm.
very cool
yeah,
to share that with her. I mean, that's something I hope she'll remember for a long time, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Yep. So, but, you know, there's also been some growth along the way with trying to meld the family together, and, you know, it's been pretty seamless because we do, you know, get along so well, and all three of us, and, you know, you and I do parent very similarly. But there's been some growth along the way. You know, Persephone's had to get used to sharing her mom with somebody and
mm-hmm.
not being at the very center of my whole world. She's still at the center of most of it, but not the whole thing all the time. And, but, you know, but I think we've, so far, any of the rough patches that we've hit, we've managed to get through them fairly constructively and not had a lot of drama. And for that, I'm very grateful.
Indeed. I mean, a lot of it is, like you said, the consistent application, the fact that we're very similar in the way we deal with things, so there's not a great deal of drama
mm-hmm.
because it's counterproductive. You
right.
know, a stern talking to, and then, like you said, the occasional swat on the bottom
mm-hmm.
just to make sure that, you know, things are,
take
you know, staying on track.
Yeah.
But, you know, those are rare because this is one of those, she's one of those children that would rather take a beating than disappoint somebody she cares about.
Well, so, first of all, let's make it clear that we don't beat my child. The occasional swat saying, on the ass is what we're talking about.
Yeah, but I'm just saying that she's the kind that would rather, you know, rather have face anything than disappointing a parental type.
Yeah, and, I mean, she will well up, you know, just when you're talking to her about, hey, you know, you did this thing, we didn't like it, and, you know, she still has that desire to want to not disappoint her parents, and as I said, talk to me when she's 15. We'll see where we're at, because, you know, 15-year-old girls are a land unto their own. It's almost as if your kids get on a boat and leave when they're about 12 or 13, and they're on a trip to a foreign land, and you just, like, have to wave from the shore going, are you okay, honey? I'm here if you need to come home, you know, I mean, and then sometime around, I don't know, 20-ish, 21, they suddenly wake up and they're like, oh, I need to go home now. And they get back on their little ship and they come back to you, you know. It's a little odd.
Now, well, I didn't think of it as going away as much as being swapped out by a changeling. I've done this before. You wait. They're changelings. There's something different.
I know.
Well, we are just about at the bottom of the hour, so while we were talking about Brad and Teresa, it kind of reminded me of one of our favorite songs of theirs.
Mm-hmm.
And that weekend we met them at Horn and Honey, they actually added a verse about the radio station and about us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was fun.
So they added a verse on the fly to Wreck of the Modern Pagan. So in honor of our friends and all of our fond memories of Brad and Teresa, we're going to play Wreck of the Modern Pagan by Murphy's Midnight Rounders. And we'll be back here in just a few minutes. Everybody stick around.
Plastic handles, ninja swords, and simulated crystal orbs in unread print of Raised Big Blue. He'll teach young women what he knows if they take off all their clothes and spiral dance into his bedroom. She won't say marry me 'cause she's a vegetarian. She's afraid it violates the reed. She only reads Fiona Horn and believes she is reborn from an ancient Pictish queen. It's fun to be a ceremonial Wiccan druid shaman. Make the rules up as you go along. I want to be a ceremonial Wiccan druid shaman. Come back in another life if I get it wrong.
Pixelated motherboards and three-pronged grounded power cords. His coven is a chat room on Yahoo. His high priest is in NYC, his priestess is in Germany. The court is called from no one has a clue. They read their screens by candlelight, and each one does his own great rite consisting of the alternate keys. F7 scribes a circle round, and F8 takes the circle down. F9 types a hearty blessed be.
It's fun to be a ceremonial Wiccan druid shaman. Make the rules up as you go along. I want to be a ceremonial Wiccan druid shaman. Come back in another life if I get it wrong.
Why do people laugh his way and shake their heads and walk away when he says he's a Virgo through and through? He wants to study Salima and the mystic Kabbalah, but Hebrew words are giving him the blues. He understands the Sephiroth from Kether down to Yetzirah. He even knows what's meant by 661. He won't call his tradition witchcraft. It's more like H.P. Lovecraft. All hail the Necronomicon.
It's fun to be a ceremonial Wiccan druid shaman.
make the rules up as you go along. I want to be a ceremonial Wiccan Druid Shaman, come back in another life if I get it wrong.
All he wears is gothic black, and tattooed on his gothic back, the scene of Jesus hanging on the cross. The reference is cursory, and hanging from his rosary, a pentacle, he says, let someone lost. He only listens to death metal, cause he says it's spiritual. He wants to play guitar like Jimmy Page. Mom's patient with his attitude. Her cat is Trixie Druid. She hopes that he'll come around someday.
It's fun to be a ceremonial Wiccan Druid Shaman. Make the rules up as you go along. I want to be a ceremonial Wiccan Druid Shaman. Come back in another life if I get it wrong.
He learned his sense of history from RPGs like D&D. He thinks Gary Gygax is a god. His paladin keeps getting trounced by wizard clerics who jump out and turn his +2 arrows into mud. The magic that he learns from books like D&D and Terry Brooks he tried to use in Circle once or twice. Last time he woke up in a funk, in a Mitsubishi trunk, cause demons really don't play nice.
It's fun to be a ceremonial Wiccan Druid Shaman. Make the rules up as you go along. I wanna be a ceremonial Wiccan Druid Shaman. Come back in another life if I get it wrong.
He's TOS and OTO and BTW Borneo. His voodoo priestess grew up in KC. He says his first is Frostian, his second is Arthurian, his third he got while studying Reiki. He reads books by Bonowitz, Grimasi, and Z Budapest, and volumes signed by Raven Silver Moon. His path may seem a bit deranged, eclecticism is his game. I think he's added Baptist in there too.
It's fun to be a ceremonial Wiccan Druid Shaman. Make the rules up as you go along. I want to be a ceremonial Wiccan Druid Shaman. Come back in another life if I get it wrong.
The Viking path's a one for him, and it's just not a silly whim. His great, 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 great granddad did it too. His songs use funny sounding words. 1,000 years they ain't been heard, and some of them are written in ancient runes. He looks upon Paganistan as something to be conquered, and his horn is always filled with meter brew. He laughs at silly pagan folk and thinks he knows more than the Pope. His Mjolnir stuck right up his ass to true.
It's fun to be a ceremonial Wiccan Druid Shaman. Make the rules up as you go along. I wanna be a ceremonial Wiccan Druid Shaman. Come back in another life if I get it wrong.
International Pagan Radio, a 24-hour, 7-day-a-week streaming radio station. We have informative Facebook page, interactive Facebook group, absorbing interviews with musicians, engaging shows with excellent hosts, and dynamic interviews with spiritual leaders. Come join us. We have the very best pagan music from around the world. We feature artists such as Dave the Bard, S.J. Tucker, Murphy's Midnight Rounders, Elaine Silver, Izon, Brian Hinkey, Robin Renee, Fawn, and so many more, all available for your listening pleasure 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We are also available on TuneIn Radio, so go to www.internationalpaganradio.com. It's all pagan, all the time.
listening to Terry and Robin on the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. We're glad you're here. And now, back to the show.
And welcome back, everybody. Oh, this is Reverend Terry Power, and you are listening to the Power Hours with Terry and Robin. My love, my lady, my wife, my partner, my best friend. How you doing over there?
Hi, honey. I'm doing really well.
Oh, that song is so much fun. There's so many directions to just enjoy that song.
Yeah. Oh, I do. I think it's hysterical.
Yeah, Wreck of the Modern Pagan by Murphy's Midnight Rounders. And then coming out of the break, we played the ad for our buddies over at International Pagan Radio, IPR. Really kind of started up with one of our alumnus from the beginning of Spiritual Unity Radio Network. And Chuck went over there to head that up, and then ultimately I think he bought the station. So he is International Pagan Radio, and now of course he took us with him to a certain degree, because our Tuesday night show is rebroadcast on Thursdays over there. So if you miss us here live, you can find us in the archives here on Blog Talk Radio, of course, but you can also listen to us on International Pagan Radio at 4 in the morning, noon, and 8 in the evenings, Eastern Time. And then, of course, after you listen to us at 8 o'clock Eastern Time on IPR, then come on over here and hang out with us under a shady tree for our 9 o'clock show here. So works out pretty well. And it was great seeing Chuck and Onyx and his lady at Caldera Fest as well.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You know, again,
yeah,
go ahead.
I was going to say it was good to see them there and have a chance to chat with them both. We so rarely get to see them because they're down in North Carolina.
Yeah. And we's all the way up in the wilds of Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So, yeah, catching up with them in person is always fun.
Mm-hmm.
So, gosh, let's see. Also, one thing that I did want to mention in the, overall scheme of things, probably the greatest thing that has happened to me in the last year is the fact that you have married me. So
yeah, that's pretty big on my list too.
The fact that you are willing to legally cast your lot in with me leaves me from time to time in awe. And recognizing the blessings in my life, that is first among them. So my life is immeasurably better with you in it. So thank you for agreeing to grow old with me and put up with all of my stuff.
Aww. I love you too. And yeah, getting married was a big step because, I said I would never do it again, ever. And you changed my mind. So here we are. You're stuck with me now, buddy. I told you this is the last time.
Yeah.
So.
Sounds almost crazy stalker, though, the way you say it like that. So, just.
Good. You should be a little bit afraid.
And of course, our little girl's wedding gift to me was that she now calls me daddy. So that's pretty huge as well. So that's all part of the bundle. That was a pretty amazing experience to do that again. So here we are. So looking forward, there's so much going on, so many plans, so much that's in work. You know, I guess, you know, the biggest, of course, is in our life. The, you know, we're looking at a house closer to my work, so that all of these conversations about, you know, how's the weather over there, it's going to be how's the weather across the hall, as we get a place where I can come home every night and we can have a, you know, be a full time, you know, every night kind of family. You know, I mean, I'll still travel for work some, but, you know, that'll just be to, you know, give us a break. Yeah, because, you know, every now and again, we're probably both going to say, yeah, when's the next trip? But, you know, it's going to be really, really nice to have that place that is ours. The place that we found together, that we work on together, where we can have, you know, it's a little better suited for some of the things we want to do with the garden, and, you know, like you said, getting back to raw foods. You know, that's easiest to do when you grow it yourself.
Yep.
And, you know, with over an acre of flat land, we'll be able to, you know, certainly do a great deal more than we can here. Much better sun impact on the property as well. Some nice trees where we can shade the chicken coop and get some new chickens, and get back to having fresh eggs instead of that store bought stuff. And ultimately, you know, work on some solar, photovoltaic, solar energy, and maybe a little bit of passive in there as well. And, you know, the goats, and just basically start, and not quite homesteading, but certainly moving a little more toward self-reliance. And, you know, that's all pretty exciting. And that, you know, and that goes with learning to make cheese and, you know, making butter. I mean, who'd have thought, you know, the first time we did it, I was kind of surprised. And then this, you know, Sunday, we just decided we were going to make some butter. And it was about 20 minutes, 30 minutes tops, including, you know, pressing it out and salting it and, you know, kneading the salt into it and packaging it up.
Yep.
Maybe 30 minutes, and it's cheaper than buying a pound of somebody else's butter. So,
yep, absolutely.
You know, who'd have thought it was that easy? Of course, now granted, a mix master certainly makes the whole process a lot easier. It's kind of turn it on and walk away until it starts sloshing. And then you got butter.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's really that easy. You just whip the cream until it's whipped cream, and then you keep going. And maybe 20 minutes into the process, it starts collapsing, gets real wet, pour off the fluid, rinse it in cold water, salt it, knead it, salt it some more, get it the way you want it, package it up. I mean, did I make it sound too easy, or did that pretty well sum up what we did?
Yeah, that's pretty much what we did.
So
it's pretty simple.
All of that goes with, you know, the self-reliance, a little bit of homesteading, getting closer to our food. And let's talk about that, because that's an important part of our ministry. It's been an important part of my ministry for 20 years. I have been talking about the agrarian roots of our Sabbaths and how we really, when the only time you see meat is on a plastic slab with cellophane around it, you're not really fully connected to the earth, to the cycles of our food that all of our Sabbaths grow out of. All of our celebrations, the eight great holidays in the pagan year, all come out of that, living close to the earth and understanding the cycles of nature. So for me, that has been a spiritual journey. Now for Robin, as a holistic health coach, she's got a little different perspective on that, in that it comes from a healthy place. And so I'm going to stop talking and let her talk about the healthy aspects of getting closer to our food.
Well, years ago, when we were still sort of living in caves, the way we ate was we foraged, and we were opportunistic. We ate what was available in season, and we ate a lot of our food as it was naturally provided. We ate it raw. We cooked very little. Really, in the grand scheme of evolution, fire is a pretty recent invention, and cooking food is a pretty recent invention. And if you look at, gorillas, they don't cook anything. They eat everything that they eat raw, and they eat meat, and they eat vegetables. They are omnivores, as we are. People sometimes will say, no, gorillas only eat vegetation. But they have video of them eating squirrels and catching small, like, mice and things like that. So they do eat meat. They just don't eat it the way you would think of, say, a predator, like a lion or something eating it. But so as human beings, we don't eat enough raw food. Our bodies know what to do with the raw food when we eat it. They go, oh, that's a raw vegetable. I know exactly where to store that and where to send the enzymes to the brain and which things I should send to the pancreas and which things I need to send to the liver. Very easy for our body to break down, store, knows what to do with it. I'm going to send everything where it needs to go. This creates a healthy immune system and a healthy body and a healthy mind. Now, fast forward 200, 300, 400, 500, 600 years, thousands of years, actually, and now all of a sudden we're eating, huh?
Thousands of years.
Yes, thousands of years. And we fast forward thousands of years, and we're eating chemicals, man-made chemicals. And our bodies are like, what the heck is this stuff? I don't know what to do with this compound stuff that they've made from combining all these other things. No, this isn't the way it's supposed to be presented to me. And so it doesn't know what to do with it, a lot of the stuff. So it skips over the good stuff in that food, the enzymes, and all the chemicals mask and often change the molecular construct of foods that we eat. So your body doesn't know what to do with them. So it sends it all to junk. Do you know that in this country we have a malnutrition problem of severe, one of the most severe in the world? When people think of malnutrition, they think of people who, like the Biafra kids with the distended bellies and you could see their ribs and, their sunken eyes. No, the people who are mostly suffering from nutrition in the United States are people who are obese. And I know this seems odd to think of it that way, but what causes people to be overweight is that they eat a lot of calories that their body stores as fat. Very few nutrients in that food. And this, I think, is at the heart of why people overeat. The quality of the food they're eating is not providing their body with the nutrients that it needs, so their body tells them to eat more often. it's not that they're being piggy or that they're not, you know, conscious about how often they eat or about how much. Their body is saying, feed me, I'm hungry. And so they eat. But they eat the wrong foods, so their bodies don't know what to do with it. They either store it as fat or they flush it out. This is how we become obese. This is how we become an obese country with a malnutrition problem.
Well, and it's not just that, but I mean the chemicals and all that stuff, our bodies aren't fed well enough to fight off disease. And then there's all these new diseases that have occurred in the 20th century that all go back to nutrition.
Absolutely. You know, it was funny because I'm on one of these off-grid lists on Facebook, you know, living off the grid, and somebody asked a question recently, well, you know, if you really go off the grid and if our you know, society were to collapse, what would people do for medicines, like for diabetes and for antidepression, you know, medications? And, you know, they went on and on about what kind of medication people take, high blood pressure medication. And I answered very simply and said, well, we'd go back to what we did for thousands of years before we had westernized medicine. We'd go back to eating foods that made us healthy and taking herbs and plants and teas that also made us healthy by supporting our immune system. Food is the first medicine, and food will be the last medicine. So we need to rethink. Yeah, we need to rethink seriously the way we eat in this country and in the world. I always tell people, when you go into a supermarket and you're going to go shopping, stay out of the middle aisles. Don't buy anything that comes in a box or a bag or a can. Buy things that do not have wrappers. Stick to the outside aisles when you come into the supermarket. The first place you want to go is the produce aisle. You go down the produce aisle. Skip the bakery. If the bakery's over there, don't go there. Don't go to the deli and buy deli meats. Nothing processed, right? So you're going to go down, buy all your veggies. Then you're going to hit the meat thing along the back usually, right? And then you're going to hit the dairy aisle and you're going to pick up, you know, your butter and eggs and whatever else you might pick up in that aisle. And out the door. You're done. Don't go down the middle aisles unless you need some bleach or some vinegar or something that you need for a cleaning product, or kitty litter because you have cats.
And paper towel, toilet paper, you know, stuff like that that you
exactly,
need.
Exactly, exactly. I mean, the things that you have to have. But as far as food stuffs, stay out of those aisles with, like, the juice boxes and the cereal. Oh, my God, probably the worst group of foods that people can ingest are those cereals, you know, with tons of sugar and chemicals. And to think, we feed it to kids. There
and then they
kids
put all
have,
these extra,
you know,
vitamins in it because that's supposed to make it healthy.
Yeah, well, that's such nonsense anyway. But, you know, you look at a cereal that's been around since I was a kid, and I'm ancient, you know, like Lucky Charms or something like that. I mean, it's got all this horrible food coloring in it that we know is not good for people. And
yeah, Mommy, but they're magically delicious.
No, they're not. They're going to make you, you know, magically dead is what they're going to make you. So they put all kinds of horrible chemicals in them. They put all these dyes and stuff. And people, do some research. A lot of the food colorings and dyes that we allow into kids' cereals in this country are not allowed in other countries because they are classified as carcinogens. Do the research. For example, a brand like Kellogg's cannot sell its products. The same product that it makes here in the United States for this market cannot sell those products in Europe. Why, you ask? Because Europe has strict guidelines about how much sugar and how much salt can be in processed foods. We have None. So if you go to Europe and you have a Pop-Tart, or you have a candy bar, or you have anything that you're used to eating here, a Kit Kat bar, it's going to taste differently because it won't have as much sugar and it will not have as much salt content, period. We were in the supermarket going, we were in the airport on our way to Dubai. I remember we were hungry. We were between flights, and I think I remember grabbing a Kit Kat or something. I remember it was a candy bar that I had eaten, you know, many, many, many times. And I'm eating it. I'm going, this is very malty tasting. You know, it wasn't unpleasant, but it wasn't what I was used to. And it was the difference because they couldn't add all the sugar and salt. They had to make up for it with flavor and make it taste
real flavor
different.
And stuff like that, yeah.
Well, yeah, they had to make it taste differently. So be mindful that when you go to the supermarket of what you're putting in your bodies. And, you know, it's funny because when we sit down at our computer, we want to make sure we have virus protection for our computer so nothing bad gets into our computer and corrupts our data, right? So when you go to the supermarket, you're doing the same thing. You're getting data, and you want to get pure data that's not been corrupted to put into your hard drive that is your body. You know, people go to the special lengths. I always get a kick out of this. You know, people go to special lengths to make sure that when they do an oil change in their car that they get the best oil to put in their car. Or, you know, they take really good, oh, I get an oil change every 2,500 miles, and I wax and polish my car to keep it in good shape, and I vacuum out the interior every week so that, it's well-preserved, and I take good care of it so it'll last me a long time.
And then they grab a bag of chips.
Yeah, and then they're sitting at McDonald's eating, you know. This message is getting out there. You know, speaking of McDonald's, this message is getting out there. McDonald's, for the third or fourth year in a row, has shown a loss as a corporate, as a national. People are choosing to not eat in fast food restaurants. All fast food restaurants are showing a downturn. People are starting to get wise to it. So
yep.
We have to keep plugging away at this message. Food
yep.
is not
right,
recreation. Food is medicine.
We're at the top of the hour, love.
Okay. Sorry. I rambled for an hour, huh? For a half hour.
No, you certainly did not ramble. It's certainly a message that needs to get out, and we need to say it more often. And again, returning to, you know, that's a healthier kind of way to eat, but it's also a spiritual way to eat. Because if you grow this stuff in your own yard, you know, grass
yep.
is a weed. I mean, we can do without a lawn. You know, plant
yeah.
a garden.
Yeah, unless you're a cow, you don't eat grass.
Do what?
Unless you're a cow or a horse, you're not eating grass.
Right. I mean, if you've got some livestock that you're, you know, that are grazing, you know, and then let them eat grass because, you know, cows and goats are supposed to eat grass, by the way, not
right.
all the stuff we feed them.
Mm-hmm.
Which is another whole, you know, another whole set of, you know, storyline.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
you know, growing our own food, raising animals for food, getting back to understanding the cycles of nature will help us to be healthier and to be more spiritually connected to the earth, to the divine, in so many ways. This has been, for me, a spiritual journey as well as a journey of taking better care of my body. So, you know, it all ties in. I mean, if you're not healthy, then you're going to have trouble being connected to the divine. So, you know, it all works together, mind, body, and spirit, and we help with all of that here with our ministry. Do want to start wrapping up just talk about some of the other events that we're going to be attending. Coming up in the first weekend, I think the 3rd, 4th, 5th, and 6th of November, we are going to be returning to Florida Florida Pagan Gathering and celebrating Samhain down there with all the friends that we made. The first time we were down there, reconnected with some of them at Caldera Fest. And it's going to be great to have some time to hang out with them down there. And, you know, of course, meet some new people because, you know, we always enjoy talking to people and getting out in the community. So if you are in the Southeast region, come to Florida Pagan Gathering and celebrate Samhain with a bunch of crazy pagans. And we're going to have a blast.
Yeah.
I mean, there's going to be a children's costume Halloween parade on Friday night. So, you know, there's going to be stuff for the whole family. It's not just, you know, throw the kids off somewhere and come to the event. Bring the kids with you. There's all kinds of total kids track, tons of stuff for an entire family. And so, you know, come on out. It's going to be great fun. And, you know, search for us and find us. We're doing three workshops, so we're not going to be hard to find. And we're going to try to do a live remote on the Thursday night we're down there. I think that's the 3rd of November. So, you know, come see us. Then March of next year, we're going to be doing, running one of the tracks at the Earth-Centered Clergy Conference going on in Indianapolis. We've been honored and to be requested to head up one of the tracks during that. We're going to be talking about building community. And then June of next year, we're going to be at Sumera Fest. It's going to be a Sumerian Ren Fair. So people are going to be encouraged to make or find Sumerian-themed garb. And we're going to have a bunch of people are going to be in the appropriate garb for the Sumerian and Babylonian gods and goddesses. So there'll be some education, there'll be some play, there'll be some fun. We're going to play with mud, build some bricks, maybe build an altar. Who knows what might happen? But all of that's going to be going on in June. And then in between, we'll be doing smaller events. If you want us to come and talk to your group, please give us a call. You can contact us by emailing littlestonebridge@gmail.com. That's the easiest email address to get us. Make sure you put something in the subject line that separates it from the spam, not just "Hi Terry" or "Hi Robin," because that's probably going in the spam folder. you know, say something about the event that you want us to come to, or something that steps it out from the crowd a little bit. And gosh, how else do people get in touch with us, darling?
Well, you can step out on the back porch. No, I'm just kidding. well, the
hey,
other
y'all.
Way, of course, on, yeah, there you go. The other way, of course, is through Facebook, and you can reach Terry or myself at our Little Stonebridge Pathworkings Facebook page. You can also reach me and my Facebook page at Robin A. McKeon, or you can reach Terry at Rev Terry Power HP. Both of those pages it's a great way to get through to us. And then there's the CERN email, which I believe, and Terry will correct me if I'm wrong because I can never remember this, is S-U-R-N. Isn't it like dot something at something? What is it? It's backwards. I can never. I don't know what it is about this. I just can't remember it. I'm sorry. What is it?
SURN.ORG@gmail.com.
Yeah, it's backwards.
Well, you don't expect it to be CERN.gmail. So it's CERN.org@gmail.com. A little bit of programming notes also. Coming up this Thursday night, we're going to be talking with singer Ginger Ackley. And talking with her, catching up a little bit since the last time she was with us. A week from tonight is our full moon ritual. And then the following Thursday on the 20th, we'll be talking with Anne-Marie, one of the organizers of Florida Pagan Gathering. And then the 25th, 2 weeks from tonight, we'll be talking about ritual working in our continuing series on the components of ritual. And then most exciting in this month is on the 27th, just a couple of nights before Samhain, we're going to have Utu Witch Doctor from Dragon Ritual Drummers, and he's going to be joined on the show by Lady Miriam, his voodoo priestess from New Orleans. And so she's going to be with him, and we're going to be talking about ancestor stuff and voodoo and Samhain and just all that kind of cool stuff. And then the Samhain ritual will be on the 1st of November. Also on Monday nights, you want to tune in and listen to Hercules and Athena and the Voice of Olympus. We've also been doing some work with them on community building, and we're on the show with them, in fact, last night. Let's see. And one more new thing we need to throw in there before we end is we are talking with someone who is going to be working on having a show, kind of teaching a class on the air, taking calls, and everything on Wednesday nights is going to be talking about spirituality and abundance and finance. So talking about overcoming some of our spiritual objections to success and prosperity. So, you know, look for that show coming in the next few weeks on Wednesday nights, and we'll have more information on that as it gets closer. Robin, was there anything else?
That's it.
Okay. So I want to thank everybody for a couple of years here on the radio station, a couple and a half years now, I guess. It's, we're hurtling toward that 30 months. We're over 500 episodes and, you know, barreling along. So thanks again to everyone who has been a part of this, to our friends who have listened to us, our family who's put up with us, and to all of our listeners. Thank you for being a part of this and for sharing it with us. It's for you that we do this. So thank you very much. And I believe it's just now time to wish you all a week filled with love and with wonder. Good night, everyone, and blessed be.
Good night and blessed be.
Thanks for listening to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. Join us 7 nights a week for exciting programming covering a variety of expressions of faith. And remember, all manifestations of the divine are equally valid.